Psalm 138 is the end of a trilogy, but at the beginning of a duet. 138 and 139 go together. Mindy read a little bit of that today. 138 is about worship, and 139 is about worship. 138 is about worship in the context of knowing Him. 139 is worship in the context of Him knowing us, being known and loved by God, and knowing and loving God. If that sounds familiar, that's from Psalm 119 when we brought up that balance of knowing and loving God, searching the Scriptures, being in Bible study, but do you know that He also wants to know and love you? You know, and we'll be talking about that and what that means. Some people don't understand that part of it. The natural tendency is for us to know God, and we know His rules and know things about Him that He created. He's coming back. He was born in a manger. All of these, we know Him, and we tend to worship, we'll sing. But there's a knowing that He wants of you. He wants to know you. Well, doesn't He know everything about me? Technically, yes. But there's something in you that has to be opened by invitation to allow God in. So we'll be talking about that, and that's a form of worship as well. Psalm 138. I'll read it through, and then we're going to parallel Mary's Magnificat, it's called, where she magnifies the Lord. Just a fancy name. It's not given that way in the Bible, that we give fancy names to different things. But it's a very special prayer, and it does deserve a special name, the Magnificat of Mary. And that's in Luke chapter 1. So we're going to parallel to 138. As I read through 138, it just spoke to me of her prayer when she found out that she had the Savior of the world going to be within her womb. I will praise Thee with my whole heart. A Psalm of David, Psalm 138. Verse 1, I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Have you lived your life half-hearted in your belief and faith in God? Will it change tomorrow? Will it be modified? Is it contingent on things going well for you? Your safety and security, is that where your faith rests on? If things don't work out for you, then you throw it all out? Well, that's different for David, who's been through a lot in his life. Loss of a child, a big failure in his life. One of his best workers, Uriah, lost of his marriage through his death. But not getting into that story. Just a lot of failure with David. A lot of very extreme times that he went through. I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto Thee. I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth. For Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. Worship being brought out in this first verse. Praise. So far in this book of Psalms, we've been in here a year and a half in the songbook of God. We've been a year and a half in this. And what's really spoken to me during this time is how concentrated, how intense worship is in this. And not necessarily just because it's music, but in the actual words, worship is all through here. We're going to go from the beginning right through, and I'm going to highlight 55 different times where just worship is brought up. And it has to do with your surrendering. I will do something unto the Lord. I will. 55 of these. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. This is the hot spot. This is the epicenter for the Christian. Worship. Knowing the Lord and Him knowing you. We have beautiful scripture all over the place. Proverbs speaks to wisdom. You have Genesis, Exodus speaking to the history of mankind, the creation. You have Revelation speaking to what's coming, what's going to happen to everything. You have the letters given to churches correcting different things and errors and tweaks and all of this. You have Jesus and His miracles. You have His death and what He spoke and what He taught. You have truth. But right here we have the epicenter. So rich. We have this idea of worship, and do you know why you exist on this earth? It isn't to build houses. It isn't to have families. It isn't to be a doctor or a nurse or a lawyer or a garbage collector or a computer technician. That's not why you're here. You're here to worship God. That's your purpose as a creature, as a created being, as part of mankind. I can't say that for dogs and cats. I can't say that for woodchucks or honeybees. They worship God, but not knowing. They worship God by just being what they were created to be. You were created to be a worshiper. We're right in the epicenter of your purpose today, of why you're on this earth, to be a worshiper of God. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Get the idea that it's just singing a song out of your mind because it's your life. It's your heart beat for God, and it's His heart beat for you every day. In the day when I cried, verse 3, Psalm 138, Thou answered me and strengthened me with the strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise Thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of Thy mouth. Yes, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord. For great is the glory of God. Though the Lord be high, yet has He respect unto the lowly. Powerful God, the whole universe in His hand, yet He knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. He knows the hairs on our head. That type of thing is being brought out here. Though the Lord be high, mighty, powerful, unimaginable, unapproachable in our sin nature, but through Christ we can come boldly before His throne. He has respect unto the lowly. You're going to hear this again in Mary's prayer and her worship. She goes into a place of worship. Through the Lord be high, yet He has respect unto the lowly. Though, verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble. In the midst of it. Though I walk in the midst of it. Thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth Thine hand against the wrath of my enemies, and Thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Beautiful promise. Beautiful promise. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. The Lord will perfect. He'll complete. We can take that right to the New Testament in Philippians, where there's a promise that tells us that God will complete. The Lord will complete the work that He began in us. He's faithful to complete the work that He began in us. Remember the teaching of the rescue grip. If I've taught you anything personally, remember that one. That God's got a grip on you as you give your life to Him. You surrender your life to Him. He's got a grip on your life. He seals you with the Holy Spirit. That's a grip. That's a powerful grip. Who can remove that grip? You tell me. You tell me who can remove the love of God out of your life? Who can remove this grip of God? Our return grip to Him is what we struggle with the rest of our lives. Is returning that grip. Returning that grip unto God. This is our worship together. God loving us and us loving God. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, Thou wilt revive me. Stretch forth Thy hand against the wrath of my enemies. Thy right hand shall save me. It is a strong hand of God. It's a mighty hand of God that has a hold on us. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. He's working on all of us, me included, especially. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy in all of that, every situation, everything you look at, His mercy and His love endures forever. 136 repeated that in every verse, a long song, but every verse had that in there. Your mercy endures, your loving kindness endures forever, not for 5 minutes. Not conditional on if I mess up today or what I thought yesterday. Your love endures forever. One of the examples of that is right in the Ten Commandments, where God is talking about those that hate Him and don't follow His commandments, Him him visiting judgment on and even on their children. But then he contrasts that. Those that love me and obey my commandments, that his love for them is going on for thousands of generations. Basically an infinite number. It's just a huge number throwing out there. And some people will run off with the one thought, and it's like, oh, generational curses, and that's what it... Wait a minute. God is trying to tell us something, that his love endures forever. Be careful when you're in the scripture and how some people can pull something out and make that the center theme of something. The center theme is that his love endures forever upon thousands of generations and generations. His love endures forever. Luke chapter 1, we're going to look at Mary's going into this place of worship. Mary was the mother of Jesus. There's a lot of Marys in the Bible. In this case, it's the mother of Jesus who would give birth to our Savior. We know that the seed from him came from heaven. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. She became pregnant with Jesus, and she delivered the Savior of the world, her own Savior, which is pretty cool to think about. So we'll take a look at Luke chapter 1 there. Mary goes into this place of worship, knowing him and him knowing us. And that's in verse 46. Notice the parallels here. And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord. That is an idea of worship going on. When fear is being magnified, and what's going to happen? I don't know, are they going to cancel James' thing? Or are they going to, you know, when fear is being magnified, worship isn't. Let's magnify the Lord and what's possible, that all things are possible with the Lord. All things are possible with him. Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. All things are possible with him. Folks, we've seen it. It's recorded in history. Our families have experienced it. All things are possible with him. We need to rejoice. We need to speak in those terms. Revival will be birthed out of that. Revival is not going to be birthed out of what if and what.
Yeah.
Revival is going to be birthed out about speaking in terms of faith. Amen. This is an opportunity. There's a lot of opportunists out there right now. I've even got a guy that I work with that's selling hand lotion for whatever he's selling on eBay for 10 times the amount, making profit, you know. And so there's that going on, and there's fear and people just hoarding and all that stuff going on, empty shelves. That's going on. I want to take advantage of this time as well, because the Holy Spirit inside me wants to take advantage of this time, but for their good and for the souls entering into heaven, not for my purposes, not for my gain. I want to give. I want to give the gospel. I want to give Psalm 91. I want to give hope and strength to people that are holding on, where their 401k and their bank account and their health is everything to them, and that's all there is to them. I want to give them the hope of eternity. I want to see revival happen during this time. Because as this time passes by, this is an opportunity that will pass. And people will go back to their numbness and their TVs and their programming and everything else. This is an opportunity for revival. God, use us during this time. My soul magnifies the Lord. I want to magnify the Lord right now. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Beautiful. This is Mary speaking. We're in Luke chapter 1, verses 47 going forward. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, and from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. He that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name. Remember, we were just talking about that. How great God is, yet he has consideration of the sparrow that falls. He cares about me. What is man? What am I? I mean, really? that he cares so much about, such a mighty being, cares so much about me. This is what Mary's going through right now. She's magnifying the Lord. He's regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, speaking to herself, about herself. For behold, and from henceforth all generations will call me blessed. He's done to me great things, and holy is his name. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation to generation. You want to talk about generational blessings. We're a church that talks about a God that his love endures. We want to encourage people to go after the Lord and hear him. Hear his voice and follow him, to become disciples of this Jesus, to follow him with all of their heart and all of their soul and all their mind. He has showed us strength with his arm. Verse 51, he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Remember the lightning strike. Where is it right now? Where's that bolt? It's right on this little Mary, this insignificant peasant from Nazareth, you know, that nobody knows, has nothing. I mean, she literally has nothing. She doesn't even have a nation. Israel's been occupied by Rome, and she's following the decree of Caesar to, you know, for the census, and being carted around. She's about ready to pop, you know, and just think about this. The lightning bolt is right there, striking earth. God's love and his mercy striking earth through humanity and the effects of it. Worship being birthed out of her mouth here. He has helped his servant Israel. There's the lightning bolt right there. He put a little signal, a little sign of that right there. In remembrance of his mercy, he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, to his seed forever. That's that lightning bolt we've been talking about. She's feeling it. She's in that moment. It's struck in her, literally. The Holy Spirit has come upon her, and she is going to give birth to the Savior of the world, my Savior and yours. The parallel here is to 138 are significant. Even the size of the two are, they're about 8 verses each. It's amazing to me. It just stood, as soon as I read 138, my mind went right to her worship of God. Verses 1 and 2, back in Psalm 138, talk about worship and praising God and going to that place of magnifying God. And go, wow, God is here. He's present. He's working. God really does love us. Being strengthened by God is paralleled in there, that he's reached down with his mighty arm. She mentions the pride of man, the kings being brought low here. That's also mentioned in 138. Humility is mentioned here. The guys were in that on Wednesday night, talking about in Matthew chapter 18. They were talking about honesty and humility being the groundwork. Mark was bringing that awesome teaching. The groundwork for forgiveness. A lot of times the groundwork for forgiveness needs to be done before we can get to that place of forgiving or receiving forgiveness. And that's honesty and humility. Awesome teaching. And you see that in this psalm of worship. And God is perfecting me. We see that in Mary's worship. She knows that God is doing something wonderful. His purpose is being fulfilled in her life. Let's move right into Psalm 139. Psalm 138 had a lot to do more on the side of knowing him, of knowing this Lord, that his plan and his purpose, and knowing this Lord. Psalm 139 is about God knowing us. And as strange as it may seem, this is our return grip on the Lord, because this is by invitation only. Him knowing us in the capacity I'm going to talk about, indwelling us with his Holy Spirit, is by invitation only. We invite him in. That's our return grip to him. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. What's happening? I'm gripping hold of him. Lord Jesus Christ, lead me and guide me. I'm grabbing a hold of the Lord, and He is filling me with His Spirit. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understand my thought afar off. Keep in mind that even speaking about Mary and what she was about to do, give birth to the Savior, Jesus is going to experience Psalm 139 Himself as a being, a man, a human being. He's going to experience the things that we did on this earth, of having this relationship with God from earth, from an earthly vessel. Very interesting to think about. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising, when I sit down, when I get up. Thou understands my thoughts afar off. Roger was praying that this morning. Hey, God already knows what I'm even going to think, what's in my mind. Thou compassest my path and my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. You know my ways, Lord. You know how I operate. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before. I love that. Psalm 23 speaks of that. The Lord is my shepherd. He's leading us. And then it says, and at the very end it says, His mercy and His grace are following me all the days of my life. You got Him before us. You got Him behind us. You're in great shape when you're following the Lord. And laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Where shall I go from Thy Spirit? Or where shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, that's the depths of the earth, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there Thy hand shall lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. Do you see the grip of Him knowing us and us knowing Him? The right hand there. Remember just in 137, we were talking about this right arm kind of thing. Some people are left-handed and right-handed. And it says, Lord, let me lose that skill that I have, whether I'm left or right-handed, whatever that is, that special skill that I can write with, and do that, have that special function with, if I forget You, Lord, if I forget to worship, let my right hand fall off, you know, because that's why I'm here. That's what I'm doing here. Yeah, I can do other things with it. I can make toast and peanut butter jelly sandwiches. I can write a thesis on this and that, and I can build buildings. But you know what? It's worthless if I'm not worshiping God. It really is. Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness in verse 11 shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. This is very much a childlike passage, Psalm 139, becoming that child again. The Lord would have us to be that, have that nature of a child, not the irresponsibility part, or the foolishness part of jumping off things, but that simple trusting in God, in that awe that children have. All the good qualities, of course. And one of the things kids like to do is they put, you know, a little tiny kid will put a hand over their face thinking they're hiding. But we can do that too as adults. And, you know, we're in a dark bar, and we're in a dark, and we go out at night, and it's like, God sees everything just like it's broad daylight. Anybody see the worm moon recently? That was a beauty. Man, it was like daytime during the night. That was, I think, last week. That thing was huge. Yeah, you could go picking worms without a flashlight. Thanks, Roger. Surely, if I say the darkness shall cover me, I'm doing something and I think that God can't see it. Come on. Yes, the darkness hide not from thee, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. He's not impaired by that. For thou hast possessed my reins. These are the things that make me me. My wiring, my makeup, my emotional makeup. Isn't it beautiful that we're all very different that way? Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, someplace discreet and unknown to us. This is before even the womb experience. That God had us, he knew us. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. I wasn't even in existence yet. And God had me in mind. That speaks to his omniscience. He knows everything before it happens. His omnipresence, he's everywhere. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. God thought about me once last month. Isn't that wonderful? Not even close. Come on. If I should count them, here it is in verse 18. They are more in number than the sand. He loves me, he loves me not. You want to know if God loves you? Go hit the beach. Start counting the particles of sand. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me, until you got it. If I should count them, they are more number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. God's got his grip on me before the first thought comes in my mind. There it is. He's ready. He's already gripped me. And I'm trying to reach for him. Beautiful thing. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. Interesting, this next few verses here talk about our enemies. And Gretchen went to a women's retreat. She brought back a bunch of cards. Anybody go with you from that's in here? You might be familiar with that. Okay. Yeah, she brought back some laminated cards that had Bible verses. Psalm 139 was one of them. I brush my teeth in front of it every day since that time that she went last year. And it has the whole Psalm 139 except this section cut out. This is the tough part, but it shouldn't be. We need to know we can't fool ourselves. There is an enemy. And a lot of times we think the enemy is the one that's in sin. And that is what the enemy is all about. When you look at Jesus when he was down here, that really wasn't what the enemy. He came to seek and save the lost. The enemy was the religious folks that were hypocritical, that were keeping. They had the keys of the kingdom. They had the truth, but they were keeping people out of the kingdom because of the religious traditions and everything they were doing. They wanted to be in power. They were jealous of Jesus and the people that followed him. Out of envy, they crucified him. That was the enemy, and that still is today. It still is today. Know who the enemy is. It's those that declare themselves as brothers and sisters, but they're living in hypocrisy. We see it in the New Testament. This is just Old Testament stuff. They're turned over to Satan in certain cases. We're not talking about people struggling with sin here. We're talking about people that are divisive, that are out for their own, they're wolves amongst us. These are the warnings that we have. This is the enemy. This isn't the one that you love. The enemy that you love is the one that is caught up in sin. The one that is in prison, that is in darkness. That is enmities with God in that sense because they are in sin, but they're lost. Not calling themselves a Christian, but yet living their own life. That's the enemy that needs to be turned over to Satan so they can come back, ultimately. So they can go get through whatever Satan will do to them, so they can come back and be delivered from this folly that they're in. So even in that circumstance, there is a solution and there is hope. But we do need to know who the enemy is. Especially when Jesus says, love your enemies. They speak against thee wickedly, and thy enemies take thy name in vain. That's where I get it, right there, verse 20. They speak against thee wickedly, and thy enemies take thy name in vain. They're using the name of God, but it's in vain. It's a pretense. It's to take advantage of other people. They're not really submitted to God. They like the advantages of having friends and people that will love them and lay their lives down for them, but they're just there to take advantage of them. It's using God's name in vain. This is not a sinner that's, you know, doped up on something. No, this is talking about people that proclaim the name of Jesus, but their hearts aren't submitted. They're not really following his will. Jesus addresses this in Matthew 7. So these are the people that will say to me, "We did all these things in your name, Jesus." And Jesus said, "I never knew you." That's the enemy. That's the true enemy. They have a form of godliness, but there is no submitted heart. They're not reborn. Because of the times we're in, we need to be careful with that. There will be people that take advantage of the church, and I'm ready for them. Okay? We need to be ready for them. There's a time coming that we need to have great discernment on and know the enemies that we love and that we lay our lives down for, that are in darkness, that need to be delivered out of prison and set free. And the enemy that says, I'm good with God, and I know who God is, and I do Jesus and stuff like that, and they're causing trouble and division in the body. But they're really there for themselves. They need strong discipline, strong medicine. They need a heavy hand. That's what's being spoken in Mary 139. We shouldn't take it out of our laminated things. You can glue it back in. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Great not to end there. Come right back around to, Lord God, am I okay with you? I know there's an enemy out there, but God, I know at any moment I could fall. Take heed lest you fall. Would say in Galatians 6. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Test me out. And know my thoughts. Here's the invitation. Did you hear it in the beginning where it's like God knows my thoughts before I speak them? God knows everything about. Yes, technically, scientifically, biologically. But here's the part that he doesn't know unless he's invited into. This is your conscience. This is your place that God jealously desires to have, that he created. This is what he died for. This is what will live on for eternity. You need to invite him in. Lord, search me. Lord, come into my life. Know me, Lord God. Know all my thoughts. I invite you to every room in my life, everything, all my ways, that you would know everything about me. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Praise God. What a beautiful way to end. If there be any wicked way in me and lead me in a way everlasting. We thank you, Jesus. What a way to end that psalm, but we're not done yet. Don't run away. We're going to go through some affirmations of faith. And these are out of the context of worship. Worship is faith being spoken, being sung, being declared. That's your life of worship. You're believing in the heart and you're confessing with the mouth. You're worshiping. Whether it's in song or you're speaking to somebody or encouraging, you're teaching, or whatever you're doing. Well, let's look at it. Let's look at these examples here. This goes right through. I won't cite the actual psalms. If you want them, you can get them from me. But there's so many, you guys would fall asleep. So I want to move at a good pace here and talk about these. And these, I just simply searched. Thank God for the tools that we have today to make it very simple. I searched, I will do something. In the book of Psalms, and it was all over the place. It was like Psalms was the epicenter of this. It's the epicenter of worship. It's, I will submit myself to you. I will do the things of God. It's basically, I'm surrendering to God. My will is being surrendered to his. That's what worship is. So all of these 55 begin with I will. And then there's something, the object is the Lord. Whether it's in the Lord or unto the Lord or because of the Lord. Or there's an attachment to the Lord. It's our will becoming dissolved in His. This is all worship. It's very powerful. I will not fear, the first one. We are fearful creatures. We get afraid very easily. In this case, in the context, it's mobs of people and the danger that represents. I will not fear. You're in the midst of a mob of people and it feels dangerous to you. You're going to start magnifying the Lord, start worshiping. God, use me in this moment. God, use my life. I give my life to you now, Lord God. I thank you, Jesus Christ. Make me more like you in this moment. As I feel fear coming up, I will not fear. I'll begin to magnify him. Number two out of 55. I got to move. I will be glad. A lot of these are very simple. These are all terms of worship, of surrender. This is our life. This is your purpose for being here. It isn't to have a 401k. It isn't to catch 3 turkeys or 15 deer. It's this. This is your purpose. All that stuff is good. Don't get me wrong. This is the best. I will not fear. I will be glad. I will sing. I will bless. I will behold. And the context of that is your face, God, in righteousness. And one is attached to that. I will be satisfied of thy face when I go to heaven, face to face. It's a beautiful one. That's Psalm 17. You could take a look at that one. I'll behold thy face now. It's through a dark glass, as we're told. We're in the scriptures, beholding the face of God. By faith, we're believing. We're beholding him now. And then we know face to face someday. And I'm satisfied in that. That dark glass is going to be totally gone away. And wow! Clarity! Pixels! I mean, everything. It's full. It's real, man. It's all there. I will be satisfied in knowing that. I will be satisfied that no matter what is happening, I'm going to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face someday. And when he's ready for that, that's when I'm ready. If it's today, good. If it's tomorrow, fine. If it's in 20 years, great. If I'm 120 and I'm dribbling, okay. Okay. When he's ready, I'm ready. I'm satisfied in that. I'm satisfied that's it. That's my hope. That's my worship. I'm going to see you face to face, Jesus. And no more dark glass, no more mysteries. It's going to be face to face. I will call upon. I will declare. Declare has a lot of them, so I'll give the fill in the blank. His name goes with that one. Be specific. It's a national day of prayer, but a lot of that stuff is generic. Just mentioning, you know, God or higher power or whatever. It's, you know, don't be afraid of the name. Yeah. Declare his name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I will wash my hands. Wash my hands. That's very applicable to this time that we're going through. That's Psalm 26:6, if you were wondering where that one is. And this one actually has to do with hypocrisy. The guy, the psalmist or whoever it is washing their hands. And it's like, yeah, I'm getting externally clean, but not in hypocrisy. It's not like I have all this dirt and perversion inside, yet I'm washing myself. And look at me, how clean I am. No, he's clean on the inside too. As he's washing his hands, he realizes that it's not important. If I'm just clean on the outside, I need to be clean and healed inside. I will wash my hands. I will extol, I will give thanks, I will teach, I will declare, this time, not just his name, but my iniquity. My sin nature. I have a sin nature. I'm just like you, by the way. James, I'm just like you. Seth, I'm just like you. Gretchen, I'm just like you. Roger, just like you. I have a sin nature. I will declare that. I'm just dead. I'm declaring my iniquity. I struggle. I know you do too. Different ways, but we all have that nature. God has given us provision. He's given us a cross to hang that flesh on in every moment and every day. I will be sorry. These next three are all related. I'll be sorry for my sin. That's a continual sorrow. Terry was repenting for our nation, but she was including herself last night. And I appreciated that in our prayer last night. Repenting for our nation and the sin that we've taken on, but praying in the context of, Lord, we have sinned. Being sorrow, having that sorrow in us, and realize our sin is something that to be sorry for. I will confess my transgressions. When I make a mistake, I need to be honest about it. Again, back to Matthew 18, having the humility and honesty, and guess what happens? Forgiveness happens. God is faithful to forgive. Not like, God, forgive me, you know, I did it again, and having some cocky attitude. No, it's like, oh, man, I'm sorry, God. That was stupid. That was ridiculous. It's having some kind of humility in these times that we transgress, where it says no trespassing when you cross the line. You know what I'm talking about? We need to confess that before God, and if necessary, God's leading you to tell another person. That can be very healing, and that James 5 talks about that. Healing will come. I will take heed unto my steps, being careful. I will keep my mouth bridled. These are all terms of worship, surrender. God knowing us, becoming vulnerable, returning that grip, having a relationship with God. I will not trust in my resources. And the resources mentioned here are weapons, a sword and a bow are mentioned in this particular Psalm 44. That doesn't mean you can't use those things. I use those things. It means you don't trust in those things. That's not what your life is built on. You trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I will make famous his name again. I will praise. I will freely sacrifice. I will not fear what man can do. I will cry. Passionate. Don't be afraid to be passionate in your prayer. Put up your hands, cry. It's all through here. It's part of our worship. I will sing aloud. And that, in the context of that, Psalm 59 is your mercies in the morning. You wake up and it's like, oh, wow! Gretchen did that because I told her about it last night. She actually did that this morning. She woke up and she starts singing, your mercy! It's wonderful! She was picking on me because I told her about that. But it's scriptural. Psalm 59. Sing aloud about his in the morning of his mercies. But people might be mad at you. But they'll get the idea that, wow, it's man, I'm alive. And God's got his grip on me. I've got hope. I've got a future. I'm going to see him face to face someday. It's real. Christ is real. I will abide. In his house, in the house, the tabernacle, the provisions of God, his relationship with him. I will lift my hands in prayer. I will declare, I will magnify, I will hope. I will go where he sends me to go. I will remember, meditate, hear, walk, glorify, behave, set no wicked thing before me. Take the cup of his salvation. Honor my vows. I will exalt. I will keep. This is all in the Psalms, and it's just the tip of worship. I will go in the way and delight, speak, and rise in the night even to seek his word. I will respect his word. I will seek the good of other people in the household of God. I will seek the peace of other people in the house of God. I will not give slumber to my eyes because of the people of the household of God. I will praise him finally with my whole heart in Psalm 138. I will worship him because of his loving kindness and his mercy endures forever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Enjoy the day.